Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Usually when we sit down, we're looking at trends, things that are sort of evolving. But today, this feels different. This feels like a hard line in the sand.
It really does.
I have the latest Tech and Plus report in front of me, and it's dated for tomorrow, February 11th, 2026. The headline is just, it's so absolute. Sora 2 and the death of polygon rendering.
It is dramatic phrasing, I'll give them that. But after spending all morning with the technical breakdown, I honestly don't think it's hyperbole.
Really?
Yeah, we are looking at a fundamental shift. I mean, this isn't an upgrade, it's a full-on replacement of the old way of doing things.
The death of polygons. Let's
Right?
start there. Because for, what, 30 years? Basically my entire gaming life. Polygons have been the atoms of these digital worlds.
They're the building blocks. A character, a car, a building. It's all just a mesh of triangles. It's
Yeah.
geometry.
It's math. Hard math.
Explicit geometry, right? Ever since the first PlayStation, the entire industry has been built on rasterization. You define a shape, tell the computer where the light is, and the graphics card just crunches the numbers to figure out the color of every single pixel.
It sounds so laborious when you put it like that.
It is. And the news today is that this whole era of calculating triangles is, well, effectively over. The report introduces this new term, interactive neural rendering.
Which is OpenAI's term, right? With Sora 2.
That's the one. And the core idea is a shift from calculation to prediction. Your GPU isn't calculating geometry anymore, it's performing neural pixel prediction.
Okay, neural pixel prediction. See, this is where I need to slow down. Because that just sounds like marketing fluff. If we're not using polygons to tell the computer there is a wall right here, how does it know to show me a wall?
That is the million-dollar question. Think of it this way. In the old model, the computer is like an architect with a perfect blueprint. It draws lines exactly where the code tells it to. In this new model, the computer it's more like a lucid dreamer. It's not building the scene, it's visualizing it. It looks at the last frame, it looks at your input, and it predicts, based on everything it knows about reality, what the next frame should look like.
Prediction sounds fuzzy, though. If I'm in a competitive shooter, I don't want the computer guessing where the track is. I need the track to be there.
Right, and that's the big leap with Sora 2. This isn't like those early AI video generators that were all floaty and weird. The report makes it clear that Sora 2 understands world logic.
World logic.
It's not just guessing pixels, it builds a coherent internal model of the world. It knows that if you're driving a car and you turn the wheel, the world must shift in a very specific way. It understands cause and effect.
So it's swapping a programming script that says, if this, then that, for a probability model that says, well, in the entire history of observed reality, Y has always followed X.
Precisely. It's probability mathematics, neural inference. It's visualizing reality instead of constructing it.
It really feels like we're stepping from pure engineering into, I don't know, imagination.
It is a bit like that.
But I'm still stuck on reliability. We've heard about AI hallucinations for years. What stops the model from just deciding the floor is now lava, or a door just vanishes because it, forgot it was there?
That's the world logic constraint. The analysis explains that Sora 2 holds a persistent state of the world. It's not making every frame up from scratch. It's generating the next moment based on the rigid logic of the last moment.
So the door's there because it was there a millisecond ago.
And doors don't just vanish in all its training data. So, yes, the consistency is baked in. And the shift, I mean, this has massive implications for hardware.
Absolutely. We've spent decades building these huge, power-hungry GPUs just to crunch geometry.
The bigger the card, the more triangles it can push. That's been the metric forever.
And now it's obsolete.
Completely. The report points to a very rapid shift towards dedicated neural inference chips, NPUs. We don't need chips that are good at trigonometry anymore. We need chips that are good at running the Sora model.
We need silicon designed for thinking, not just drawing lines.
Exactly.
We have to get into the hardware wars, what this means for NVIDIA. But first, the user experience. The report uses this example that just sounds like science fiction, the cyberpunk Rome scenario.
Oh, it's a fantastic illustration of what they're calling prompt to play.
So the user just, like, what, talks to the game?
Pretty much. The report describes a user just saying out loud, "I want a cyberpunk city in the rain, but with architecture like ancient Rome."
And in the old industry, I guess we have to call it the old industry now. That's a 2-year production cycle. You need teams of artists, modelers, lighters.
It's a logistical nightmare. But with Sora 2, the report says the AI builds the textures, the lighting, even the physical laws of this world in a fraction of a second.
It's instant.
It's instant generation. The bottleneck is no longer how many artists you have. It's how fast you can describe what you want.
The report is so blunt about this. It talks about the obsolescence of the 500-person level design team. It just says imagination is replacing programming.
Because you don't need someone to place every single trash can. The AI just knows where trash cans go in a cyberpunk city.
Which sounds like an existential crisis for game developers.
Mm-hmm.
And for their tools.
Yeah.
What happens to something like Unreal Engine? If I can just speak a world into existence, why do I need an engine?
And that's the Unreal Engine crisis, the source mentions. Those engines are tools for manually putting polygons together. If the world is generated neurally, those tools become artifacts.
Unless they pivot.
They have to. The report says Unreal Engine 6 has to merge with these models immediately, or, yeah, they risk becoming historical.
But let's be skeptical for a second. We've seen AI video. It can be slow. You wait a minute for a 5-second clip. You can't play a game like that. Gamers notice a single millisecond of lag.
And that was always the barrier. But the Tekken Plus analysis cites the big breakthrough here, latency. It's dropped to under 10 milliseconds.
Under 10.
Right?
That's faster than most TVs can even display.
It is. It's the threshold for professional competitive gaming. This isn't a tech demo anymore. It's real time. You move the joystick, the neural prediction happens instantly. It's playable now.
That just changes everything. This isn't some cool future tech. It's a product launch.
Right.
But okay, visuals are only half of it?
Yeah.
What about physics? I'm crashing cars. I'm knocking things over. How does an AI that's just predicting pixels handle that?
This was the part of the report that, for me, was just the most fascinating. They call it an internal neural physics engine.
Which, again, sounds like a buzzword. Does it have a physics engine or not?
Well, not a traditional one. In a normal game, physics is just a set of formulas. Gravity is 9.8, friction is some number, a car hits a wall, the code checks a box and plays a damage animation.
And we've all seen that go wrong. Cars falling through the map.
Of course. But Sora 2 doesn't use formulas. It uses experience. It understands gravity and mass because it has watched millions of hours of things falling and crashing.
So it doesn't calculate the crash.
Yeah.
It sort of. It remembers what a crash is supposed to look like.
But it understands the behavior of matter. The source uses the car crash example, the metal crumpling, the glass shattering. That's not a pre-made animation. It's the AI simulating the event based on its deep probabilistic understanding of steel and glass.
So the damage is unique every single time.
Every time. And it goes for everything. Liquids, electricity.
Mm.
If you shoot a water tank, the water spills and flows, not because a programmer wrote a fluid script, but because the AI just knows what water does.
It's simulation based on observation, not calculation.
Exactly.
Which brings us back to the hardware. If we're moving away from calculation, a company like NVIDIA, whose whole empire is built on calculation, they're in a very dangerous spot.
And this is where the report gets into the hardware wars. It references a strategic analysis from Tekken Games, specifically from a Commander Majid and his team.
So what's their take? NVIDIA's been king of the hill forever.
The argument is that NVIDIA has to redefine itself. They can't be a rendering company anymore. They have to become an inference engine producer. They have to sell the hardware that dreams the game.
The report mentions the new RTX Titan Blackwell. Is that the bridge?
It's the first step. The analysis clarifies its true value isn't in the old CUDA cores we used to care about. It's the tensor cores.
The AI chips?
Right. Those used to be for secondary things, like upscaling. Now, they're the main event. The new metric for a graphics card isn't polygons per second, it's tokens per second. How fast can this chip run the Sora model?
But even with a monster card like that, running a model that understands all of reality sounds incredibly heavy. I can't see my laptop handling that.
And you've hit on the distribution problem. The report gets really deep here, talking about how we'll actually play these things. This is the whole mobile revolution and cloud shift.
How does an iPhone run this if you need a Titan to do the heavy lifting?
This is maybe the most complex idea in the whole report. It's the difference between streaming video and model distribution.
Okay, so current cloud gaming, that's just streaming video. A server plays a game and sends me the picture, like Netflix.
Exactly. And if your internet lags, the picture gets blurry, the server does all the work.
Right. This new model is different? The server doesn't send you a video feed. It sends you the model itself, the world builder brain.
So instead of streaming the movie, it sends the actors and the script to my house.
That's a perfect analogy. A compressed version of the Cyberpunk Rome model gets sent to your phone. Then your phone's local NPU, its neural chip, does the final rendering. It generates the reality locally.
So my phone is doing the dreaming, but the cloud taught it how to dream.
Or a hybrid. The big logic happens in the cloud. The immediate frame generation happens on your device. This changes everything for bandwidth. You download the model logic once, and that's it.
And that completely solves the lag problem. If the frame is generated on my phone, there's no round trip to a data center.
It creates a zero latency feel, even on a mobile device. It's the end of video streaming for gaming and the start of model distribution.
It democratizes it.
Yeah.
You don't need a $2,000 PC anymore.
Not if the models are efficient enough.
Wow. It's a lot to take in. The end of 3D modeling, the end of game engines, a complete hardware pivot. It is a total reset.
The report's summary, it calls it the death of polygons. But the implication feels so much bigger than just graphics.
It is. The real summary is the shift from passive rendering to real-time world generation.
Passive rendering. That's us, playing a world someone else built for us.
Exactly. For 30 years, we've been tourists in someone else's static creation. That tree was placed there by an artist. But the report argues we've crossed a threshold. We're about to start living in worlds we generate in the moment.
The last bastion of passive rendering has fallen.
That's the closing line. When the world is building itself for you as you move through it, you're not just a player anymore, you're a co-creator.
It's exciting, but also a little isolating, maybe.
Yeah.
If my cyberpunk Rome is totally unique, and yours is too, do we lose that shared experience of beating the same level?
That is the question, isn't it? Does the shared culture of gaming fracture, or does it just become infinitely more diverse?
Well, I'm going to go home and try to imagine what my perfect world looks like.
Yeah.
You know, just in case my console starts asking for prompts instead of discs.
I think I'll stick to my infinite library of books, thank you.
I expected nothing less. That's it for this deep dive into the death of polygons. We'll see you in the next reality.